Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family, and welcome to my magic here on Culture Freedom Radio. Of course, my magic is live on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that is 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. I am Lady D, your hostess, your purpose and passion coach, as well as your down-to-earth reader. My magic is your tool for success. Success on my magic means having a clear mind, inner peace, and a balanced body. A clear mind is the clarity to know what you desire in life. It is an understanding of your path and a vision to attract what's necessary to achieve it. Inner peace is silence of the mind. It is the releasing of past hurts and the gateway to your higher self. A balanced body is free of disease, illness, fatigue, and pain. A balanced body means that you are strong enough to endure and accomplish what you desire. A balanced body is the force of energy that assists you in going out and making things happen in your life. Yes, you. You must get up, go out, and get something. Now, what is my magic and what are we all about? My magic is about putting your mind to action. My magic is about controlling your thoughts and replacing those that no longer are needed in your journey. Self-defeating thoughts such as, I am sick, are quickly replaced by, I am whole, I am healed, I am healthy. Thoughts such as, we are in a recession, shifts to, I am the co-creator in my life. I create my reality. My magic is about knowing thyself, your beliefs, your passion, your purpose, your path, your desire, your gifts, and declaring what it is that you want in life. My magic is about choices. When you connect to your true self, you begin to embrace and work your magic. And when you are working your magic, everything begins to properly align for your highest good. You can find myself, Lady D, online at www.lookandtyson.com. Again, that's www.lookandtyson.com. LookenTyson.com. Perhaps you have questions, comments, maybe show ideas, or maybe even you have a message or a story that you would love to share with the family. If so, go ahead and drop me an email at mymagic81@gmail.com. You can find myself on Facebook as well as Twitter. Yeah, I tweeted up just a little. You can find me at Lady D, My Magic, again on both Facebook and Twitter. And to give you some station information, you can find Culture Freedom Radio online at www.culturefreedomradio.web.com. And there are a host of different videos, lectures, as well as articles. And there is even a forum for you to get involved in there. So definitely check out the website. You can also tweet with us on Culture Freedom. And you can find us on Facebook at Culture Freedom Radio. You can like the page there. Now, the call-in number is 347-850-8030, and it's easier to just go ahead and save that in your phone. That way, each and every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can go ahead and call in. Once you are on the line, you can press 1 at any time if you have any questions or comments on the topic. Now, if you aren't, if you don't already have your Blog Talk Radio account signed, go ahead and get that. It's free, and you'll be able to chit-chat with us in the chat room. We are very excited about tonight's show. Of course, every guest, every song, every topic here on My Magic is about uplifting, inspiring, and empowering. So before we get into the show tonight, we're going to have a word from my homegirl, my sister, yes, sister, and our empowering speaker, Miss Jilly from Philly.
You will find in your heart golden days, a love that reigns from the stars, golden days.
What exactly, my dear, are you clinging to? Propaganda stating you've gone as far as you're going to, that your skies are finite and limited, that your growth is an impossible dream, that your future is inhibited. Oh, please, they've been shoveling them lies since the 50s. Can't nobody decide what your life can move through? This is your time and your challenge. What is it that you want to do? Sit and be still and not shine the way your life was meant to? Oh, I pray that ain't true. I pray that ain't true. Oh, please, don't fall into the abyss because something negative once ruled you. Please, understand I'm from where you are and I got to fight my demons too. Please, don't give up because somebody broke your heart and something fell through. This is life you owe it. Life does not owe you, okay? An obstacle is a thing that impedes or blocks one's way. You can climb over, you can dig under, you can chip through it, you can go around it, you can move it, you can ignore it, but you can do it. You can do it.
You'll find in your heart golden days, a love that rings from the stars, golden days.
Peace and love, family, and welcome, welcome to Wednesday's edition of My Magic. I am your hostess, Lady D, and today is Wednesday, May the 15th, of course, 2013. And if you missed the show on last night, we were joined by the international speaker, the passionate Italian, Mr. Alfonso D. Rose, and he spoke with us about supernatural sex, not just normal stuff, supernatural sex, and the desire for an individual, the want over the need. And he also shared with us how weight loss is a spiritual purpose and a spiritual journey. This was a very enlightening conversation that we had with him, and we have already confirmed that he will be returning to grace us with his presence very soon, and our topic at that time will be the sacred masculinity. See, I knew it. I knew that men weren't just put here to make babies and be protective. I mean, I knew it. So we'll be discussing that with him. And, of course, I'll give you more details as we approach that date. But in the meantime, definitely go back in the archives and check out last night's conversation with him. On tomorrow, we'll be joined by Ms. Barbara Hunt, and we will be discussing the difference between thoughts and feelings. You know, and I know men are more logical, at least on the surface, and women on the surface seem to be more feely-feely, but of course there's balance because we come one from the other. So we'll be speaking about that balance and the difference in being able to control those emotions and those thoughts, okay? Now on tonight, we are joined by author and teacher Daniel Johnson, and he will be sharing with us perspectives on paranormal issues from a Latter-day Saints perspective. So we'll be touching on the purpose of life. We'll be touching on spirits and ancestors as well as afterlife. And I'm very much excited about the topic because I'm always curious. I love to learn about different beliefs and thought forms, and I see that he is with us. I'll go ahead and open up his line. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've had sort of a crazy evening jumping from place to place, but I finally got your number, and here I am. So
here we are.
We're good to go.
Well, I guess you could begin. Well, first, before we even start, is the preferred term is the preferred term Latter-day Saints or Mormon?
Well, I guess the preferred term among ourselves would be Latter-day Saints or LDS. That's what we tend to call ourselves. Most people that use the term Mormon a lot are people who are outside of our faith, and they commonly call us Mormons.
Okay, gotcha. Now, tell us about your childhood and then your connection to the Latter-day Saints.
About my childhood?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was born in Florida and lived there for quite a few years. I grew up and was a kid in Florida. And So I guess in many ways it was sort of an average childhood. I don't have any brothers or sisters, and I was raised by a single mother, so, very small, immediate family anyway. But, obviously in the South you have a very high Southern Baptist and traditional Christian culture and background among many people. So I grew up with that all around me. And what's interesting is the town that I'm from, Pensacola, has a lot of there are a lot of ghost stories and a lot of tales of haunted places and things like that. I'm not sure if maybe lots of old towns in the South have that, but Pensacola, my hometown, is definitely known for that. But as far as my connection with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or the Mormons, that was something that it kind of began with my mother. Interestingly, she always wondered about things, as she told me, when she was young. She wondered what angels were, and she wondered what spirits were, and what happens when we die, and things like that, and just could not get answers that really, I think, satisfied her from her pastors. And so off and on, she would look to other places and try and see if there were answers to those questions. And that eventually, much later, led her to the Mormons. And she was baptized or became a member of the church whenever I was 3 years old. And so since then, I was raised in the faith, I guess you could say. And so in our family, my mother and I are the only members of this church. So that's kind of my quick view of my background and the connection to things.
Okay. Now, would Mormons be considered Christians?
I guess it sometimes depends on whom you ask. If you ask us, we would say, yes, we are Christians. The actual name of the church is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so for us, all of our teachings, really, even the ones that are considered unusual by other Christians, they're all really centered on Jesus Christ. And that is a focal point of our scriptures, of our worship, and of many things. Now, for many sort of traditional Christians. There are some that don't consider us Christians, mainly because of some of our doctrines and you know beliefs we have concerning God and things like that. But you know, if we were to talk about Jesus Christ, we could go on all day with things that probably you know most Christians would find quite reasonable and believe.
Okay. Now, what is the difference, or rather, is there a difference between the Book of Mormon and the Bible?
Well, there's a good question. There is a difference in that it's a different book. So we consider it a book of Scripture. And it's the reason, of course, that most people call us Mormons, because of that book. And what's interesting is that Mormon is actually the name of a prophet who was a figure in that book who compiled a lot of the history. So for us, the Book of Mormon is ancient scriptural history, and we use it along with the Bible, and for us it teaches us more about Jesus Christ and supports what's in the Bible. But what happens is it's the story begins with a prophet in the land of Jerusalem around 600 BC who is commanded to take his family and other people and to leave the area, and they eventually come to a new land, a new promised land, which we believe was the American continent. And so in comparison with the Bible, the Book of Mormon is a book of Scripture which tells about people on the American continent and their prophets and, you know, their history, their dealings with God. And so that's for us, you know, kind of the major distinction there. But we believe both that and the Bible to be Scripture.
Okay. So what does it mean to be a Latter-day Saint? Like, what are some of the foundational beliefs?
Okay. Most people might have heard of Joseph Smith. And so for us, he was a prophet and the first of the modern prophets, like prophets in the Old Testament. And so one thing that was gained through his experience and his teachings, and it's a very important belief for us, is that we have a direct connection to God, and that we are all literally God's children, and that we can communicate with God directly, and we can receive answers from and receive confirmation from God directly, and that the heavens are not closed, that revelation can continue to man, either on an individual basis, you know, as far as one individual, or as far as on a group basis, like new scripture, such as the Book of Mormon and other things, could be revealed. So for us, that's a big thing, is that the heavens are open and that more truth can come from God to us. Mm-hmm. Another thing is our belief in the idea that God is literally our Heavenly Father, and we believe in a very close and personal relationship with God, and the fact that we, as God's children, are actually eternal beings, that we had an existence before our birth, and that this point in life is a very important focal point in our existence, and that will continue after death, and that there are many things yet to be experienced afterwards. So, I mean, for us, there's this, you know, very large, what we think of as an eternal perspective, and we don't view there being a big difference between man and God, that we're not different types of creatures, but that we are literally children, you know, working our way back to the presence of God. And that's what this life is all about. So those would be, you know, some major points, I guess.
Okay. Now, I think most of my knowledge of the Mormon faith comes from the missionaries. So could mm-hmm. you tell us about the missionary work? Like, is that a requirement? Or because everyone seems to be very happy doing what they're doing. is it a choice or what?
Well, we would hope so. I actually was a missionary many years ago, and I was a missionary in Argentina. So it's not a requirement. Young men are encouraged to go, but more than that, they're encouraged to be prepared and live worthy lives to go, be ready to go. But it certainly is each person's choice. And so young men can go serve a mission at the age of 18 or 19, and they would serve for 2 years. And so I lived in Argentina and was a missionary there for 2 years. and that young women, the age was recently lowered. They, I believe, can go at the age of 19, and they serve for a year and a half. So the idea is it's something that you choose to do. Like I say, the young men, especially those who are active, are strongly encouraged to do that. We believe it's very important time to serve others. And what's interesting is that a person gets ready for that, goes through interviews, prepares papers to send off, and is called to a mission. And so you don't have any idea where you're going to be going until that envelope arrives in the mail. You open it up and it tells you, you know, where you're going, which is kind of an interesting moment to find out, you know, where could it be? So missionaries are, they're not paid for what they do. The missionary or the family is expected to you know, provide the funds for that as much as they're able. And in many cases, you know, the missionary's congregation will help out if necessary.
Okay. How I wouldn't think they were over 16. They look
what,
so
what
young.
Was that? What was that?
So young. I wouldn't have assumed everyone was over 18.
Well, they'd be over 18, yes. Like I say, 18 right now is the youngest age. And so it used to be 19, so that the standard time for a young man to go be 19 through 21. But it just as recently has been lowered to 18. So there would be at least 18. But the missionaries, you know, they do receive some training and some preparation, and they're studying continually while they're missionaries. But obviously, you know, it's not a profession. It's not something they've spent years studying for. So what we believe is that more than an individual's knowledge or education in spiritual matters, what matters is teaching with the Spirit of God. That's the important thing, not, you know, all the education and sort of technical learning a person might have, but just teaching from the heart.
Now, when you hear the term paranormal, what does that mean to you?
To me? Well, it's not a term that, and this is just me personally, it's not a term that I like a whole lot. I guess I like it better than, say, supernatural. I think that was kind of the idea. That's why it's become more popularly used now. But for me, the things that people think of as being paranormal, and again, this is kind of just my only personal reflection on it. I think of things as everything is normal, even things which we don't understand and which might seem strange. And so I think of everything as normal, even things having to do with beyond death and with spirits and with all that type of stuff. It is normal and natural. It's just operating on laws that we don't understand yet. So, like I say, I'm not a big, huge fan of the term paranormal, but I understand kind of what's happening there. But I think one thing that we would say as Mormons is that everything is normal, that nothing is outside of that. You know, miracles, even, they're not a magic. They're not a breaking of natural laws. It's just laws of nature used in a way that we don't understand yet. Mm-hmm. So that's my take, is it really is all normal, even if we haven't figured it all out.
So now, I know you said your mother was looking for answers on spirits and angels. So in your life now, is there a difference between, say, spirit guides, angels, and ancestors?
Well, not really. In kind of traditional Christian theology, there are very definite levels. You would have God at the highest, and then next level would be angels, and next level, lowest down, would be man. For us, we're all the same. We're all related. And so we would look at angels as really being our brothers. They are people who have lived on this earth before. And so they're not different from us. They are our brothers. They are, could be our ancestors, but they are people like us, just in kind of a different state in their eternal progression. And so we also look at the idea of spirits. We believe, of course, we all have a spirit. We believe that spirit is eternal. And so that spirit existed before we were born. And so we, in some sense, are eternal beings, that before our birth, we existed as spirit children of God, and we did things, and we learned things, and we progressed things. And we don't see spirits as being something that is immaterial or not really there. We believe that spirit is real. In fact, the teaching of Joseph Smith is that spirit is actually matter. It's purer and more refined than what we understand right now, but it is a type of matter. So for us, spirit, a spirit being, is real. It's an actual thing. And so, you know, everyone is a spirit, really. Our spirits inhabit our bodies during our mortal lives, and then at death, the spirit separates from the body. So I guess I would kind of look at all of that as being, you know, the same thing. I can say we're all spirits.
Okay. Now, do you all believe in reincarnation?
We don't believe in reincarnation. We believe that this incarnation we have right now during a mortal life, that is our incarnation. And that's why this mortal life is so important, for us to gain as much light and knowledge as we can, whoever we may be, wherever we may be. And it is, it's a very important part. And so our spirits have existed, you know, eternally before, and our spirits will continue to exist after. But we only believe in one mortality right now. We believe in a resurrection, that there will be a physical resurrection when our spirit will return to our body and be perfected. But we don't believe in being reborn and in going through another mortal life. We believe that this life is the time for us to perform our labor. And that after this life, after our death, things that are left undone or things that we were unable to do, there will be an opportunity in spirit to try and continue and do that. But we do believe in just one birth and one mortality.
Okay. Now, okay, you said the purpose of life is to gain as much knowledge as possible.
Yeah, light and knowledge would be a term we might use.
Okay, so what would be the, like, some types of knowledge that you would be seeking?
Well, I think the most important knowledge would be spiritual knowledge. Anything, we believe that any progress or any learning that is done in immortality will continue with us. And so as much as you can do here, and immortality is the best place to do it, that will give someone, you know, more advantage in the next life. This is a good time to improve upon that. So, you know, the most important thing would be to try to understand God and to try and develop a relationship with God. And, you know, try and understand and come across, you know, spiritual truths. That we believe that someone cannot be saved in ignorance. And so things that are eternally true, things that are especially of a spiritual nature, especially things having to do with God. And for us, that would hopefully or naturally lend someone into, you know, having a great deal of compassion and love and understanding and helping people around them. And, you know, learning about people, learning how to help people, learning to understand people, that would be also very important knowledge to gain in this life as well.
Now, you said that you don't believe people can be saved in ignorance. So how do you all look at the salvation that comes through Jesus?
Well, we believe that Jesus is the Savior of the entire world and, in fact, of all of creation, and that no one can be saved except through the grace of Jesus Christ. And so, obviously, coming to know about Jesus, coming to understand his principles, and more importantly, trying to live them and really implement them in your lives would be very important. And so our belief is that that's why this life is important. That's one of the things we're trying to do. And it would take, you know, it really takes all our efforts to try and, you know, be to live that discipline as much as we can, which I don't think is easy. And so saying that we can't be saved in ignorance, we all know that there are, you know, millions or more of people who, you know, did not have the opportunity. There have been people who have lived and died on this earth without having the slightest opportunity to learn about Jesus Christ. And so our belief is that in the spirit world, that after one's death, in the spirit world, then that can be an opportunity for them to learn these things that they didn't have that chance for in life. And so everyone is going to need to try and be judged by the same standard. It's all equal. And so the time after death is also a very important time for those who did not have those opportunities in life. And we believe that's actually a very important part of what goes on in the spirit world for those who have passed on.
Okay. Now, with the soul or the spirit being eternal, how do you look at the afterlife? Like, is there a heaven and a hell?
Well, we don't use quite those terms. There's kind of an immediate afterlife, which is what happens immediately when we die. Where does our spirit go? What happens there? And then there is a more of a long-term one, which we believe will be after a final judgment and after the resurrection and all that. But as far as immediately, our belief is that the spirits of all people, good or bad, go to a spirit world. Anciently, among the Hebrews in the Old Testament, this was known as Sheol. And among the Greek-speaking Christians in the New Testament, it was called Hades. But they mean both the same thing. This is a place for all spirits who depart from this life, where they will go. And so that is a temporary time. And those people who have lived good lives and done the best they can are in a state of paradise, and they're resting from all the physical difficulties of life, but there also is much work to do. And those people who weren't quite ready, who lived perhaps lives that weren't so good or just didn't quite, you know, get what they needed in this life, they're in that same spirit world, but their state is one that is not quite as pleasant. We don't really use the term hell that much, but we look at them as being almost imprisoned. But it's also a time for others in the spirit world to reach out to them and to help them and to teach them and to perhaps help them to come out of that state by, you know, learning things and realizing things that they did not have, in their mortal existence. So that's kind of how we view the immediate state after death in the spirit world. And we believe that spirit world is right here. It is on its own earth. It's just, you know, slightly removed from us, so usually we can't quite perceive it. But there's a lot that is going on. And so that's kind of how we see that. Well, we see that as being a temporary state, that eventually everyone will be resurrected and there will be kingdoms of glory designed for what they are basically ready to receive. And that would be something that is, you know, far off in the future. So we don't quite think of heaven and hell simply because we believe that, you know, you can't just take people and say, these people are good, these people are bad. We're all kind of shades in between. And so there are places and there are states prepared for everyone, depending upon, you know, what they're willing to live to.
Okay. That's a very interesting perspective, Daniel. And wiping out hell and replacing that with, like, an imprisonment makes me wonder, then, are there demons or devils in your faith?
Good question. I would personally say, I'm going to come out and say it rather directly, I don't believe there are such things as demons. Demon is not a term that's found in the Bible. It's actually a term from Greek mythology that means something else. That doesn't mean that they aren't evil. We believe in evil spirits, and we believe that before this earth was made, that, you know, all of us were together as God's children, that there was a spirit there who had designs of his own, and his name was Lucifer, and that he had a plan that was in opposition to God's plan, and in fact that he rebelled against God's plan, and in fact fought a war of sorts, and was able to tempt or bring one-third of God's children to his side, and that these spirits were cast out of God's presence onto the earth. And so this Lucifer, of course, is the person we would know as Satan. And Satan is a term that means the adversary or the deceiver. And so he and his followers are here. And their whole point is to fight against God's plan, but more importantly, to try and work on each one of us to pull us away from what we might achieve, to make us unhappy and to cause all kinds of grief and destruction, but also more importantly, to pull us from what we might have achieved. And so these are evil spirits. I wouldn't call them demons in so much that they are spirits like ourselves, but they will never have a body. But Satan and his followers are spirits, and they are real, and they are here on the earth, you know, trying to, you know, they are the opposition to God's plan.
Now, going back to the angels and the connection and seeing them as brothers, are you allowed or encouraged to contact them for spiritual guidance?
Well, not exactly. Our belief kind of is that between us and the world beyond, we talk about it as though there is a veil placed over our eyes. We can't quite see that. And I wouldn't say that we're encouraged to try and seek contact with the world beyond, that at certain times that the other world, whether it's angels, and really angels are only, they're messengers. That's what the word really means. They're messengers from God. Or even our family members who have passed on may connect with us or contact us with some important thing we might need to know. But that usually is initiated from that side. We aren't encouraged to initiate it from our side going there. So things like seances or mediums or Ouija boards are things that we don't have a very positive view of that, simply because I guess I'm not sure that those types of things really work, but if they do, we're not sure what might be making the contact. But if any contact does need to be made, it would happen naturally. But as far as our connection with the divine, with the spiritual, what we really seek is to communicate with God directly through prayer. And we don't need spirit guides or angels as intercessories. We would work directly to pray to God our Father directly. But that angels, spirit beings, even perhaps those who are our loved ones who have passed on, may intercede in our behalf. In fact, this might be happening all the time without our knowledge, but they may be interceding in our behalf. But we don't really seek it out.
Okay. Now, is our life here, would you say we have free will, or is it kind of predetermined or pre-decreed what we're going to go through and how we're going to behave?
That's a great question. One thing that was a very strong belief on us is the idea of free will, or we sometimes call it free agency. And that is one of the greatest of God's gifts to us, is our free will. We believe that the plan of our adversary, of Lucifer, was to take away our free will and to force us to do things. And in fact, I think many things that are negative influences in the world are things that seek to take away mankind's free will. If you think of oppressive governments, they try to take away the people's, you know, free will, freedom to express themselves, freedom to oppose, things like that. And even things like, drugs and alcohol, things like that, you know, you are kind of losing control to some degree when you're under that influence. So for us, free will is something that everyone has. Everyone is free to exercise that for good or for bad. And that is such an important thing that even when people exercise their free will in a bad way and hurt others, the idea of having free will is so important that God allows that to happen. And so we do believe that everyone being free and being free to choose the dark or the light, that is a crucial part of our existence.
So Daniel, would those temptations be looked at as like a sort of test of your faith?
But perhaps so. We believe that this life is a test, and that as awful as the bad things are, that they're necessary. And that if you don't go through that, then you're not really prepared for the world beyond. So we look at the temptations, the difficulties, the pain, the suffering, all out of life as being part of the test. And that the idea is that none of us is going to get through this without experiencing some of that. And I think some people experience more than they have to based on their choices. But no matter what, we're going to experience that in life. And that's part of why we're here, to learn from those experiences. You know, we believe that mankind had to fall. You know, life wasn't destined to be a beautiful paradise in the Garden of Eden forever, that we had to fall. We had to experience sin. We have to experience pain and suffering and all that comes with life, that is an important part of our time here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, could you tell us about the Mormons' perspective on the Western ideal of healthcare versus natural healing?
Healthcare versus natural healing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess for us, we believe that, you know, all advances in understanding and science and technology are for our benefit, and there are many truths out there, and there are many beneficial things in the earth that God has prepared for us, you know, for us to discover and use. So we, if you're talking about health procedures and medications and surgeries, we believe that that's all, you know, available for us to use. We believe also that a person's faith is an important part of that as well. So the idea is a combination of that. It's a combination of prayer and blessings and your faith in God, plus using whatever medical advances are available to you.
Okay. And what would you think about, say, the law of attraction? How does that play into the Mormon faith?
The law of attraction. Can you explain that a bit more?
More so what you put into the universe. Universe replacing what most would say God or spirit. So whatever you put into the universe, you get that. Whatever you think about, you bring about. So if you're positive,
okay,
then all positive things happen.
Well, that kind of sounds like karma in some ways.
Mm.
Nothing specific, but just that, you know, our lives are, we're meant to be conscious, are actively and consciously engaged in good things. That's what it's all about. That the highest level you can achieve is to lose your own self, to not worry about yourself, and to try and help others. Jesus taught that, you know, those who want to, who seek their own lives will lose it, but those who lose their lives shall find it. We believe that means you ignore your own selfish wants and you try and think of others. And that's the greatest way towards happiness. That you try, whether it's your family, those around you, or anyone you can help, that's the way to true happiness. I think many people are worried about trying to focus on themselves and how can they make themselves happy. Oftentimes it doesn't quite work. But for us, the way is try and do as much good as you can and forget about your own petty needs. And if you do that, you'll find that things get taken care of, that you actually are happier and that your problems get sorted out.
Okay.
If that answers in any way, I hope.
It does.
Okay.
Now, tell us about the two books that you have written.
Certainly. It's from a great interest of mine, and it has to do with our belief in the Book of Mormon and with, you know, things that happened there. So for quite a long time, there have been Mormon scholars and archaeologists that have tried to pinpoint the Book of Mormon and its locations and its people with certain actual areas. So the general consensus, and there's no final word on this, but the general consensus among LDS scholars is that most of the events mentioned in the Book of Mormon happened in the Americas and more than likely in an area known as Mesoamerica. And so that would be southern Mexico, Guatemala, kind of all, right in there. And so there's been a great deal of interest for the past number of decades in LDS archaeologists and historians and anthropologists studying that region. And there are also a lot of Mormons that take tours and go down there and visit those sites. So it's a fascinating thing to see, is there anything down there which might match up, which you might be able to correlate. And so the books, which I wrote with two good friends of mine, who were my co-authors, basically stemmed from our visits down there. We traveled down there, just the three of us, and toured these various sites and did a lot of research beforehand so we could know what we were looking at, what the history was, and what the artifacts and interesting parts about each site were. And as we were doing that, one thought was, it would be nice if someone would actually write sort of a guidebook from a Mormon point of view about how to go to these places and what to look for. And apparently no one had ever done that. So after our second trip, we began giving presentations and firesides into various groups in our areas, and people began to ask us if we're going to write a book about that. So finally we thought, well, why not? So that's really the source of it. But basically it's about, and some of it is almost like a travelogue, the interesting experiences we had traveling in these lands, in Mexico, in Guatemala, in Honduras. But it's an account of our travels and also a site-by-site guide. So each chapter would talk about a specific ancient site, what its history is, what all the standard archaeology says about it, what things have been found there. And then we also would talk about things in that site's past or history or artifacts that are similar to things we read in the Book of Mormon. And so it's for anyone who is kind of interested in, you know, why Mormons would have an interest in that area or in ancient American history, this is kind of an explanation for that. And the idea was just to try and find, you know, kind of get to the bottom of it and find how much truth we could find there. And also, I love the culture of these areas. I love the people. I love visiting these sites. And so that's really what the books are about.
Okay. And give us the title of the books again.
Well, our first one is called An LDS Guide to Mesoamerica. And it's actually published hardback. It's full color. Really well done. I'm a graphic artist myself, and so I did the layout and all the design work in the book. So it's full of pictures we took of the sites, of art and diagrams, really explain what's going on. And the second one is called An LDS Guide to the Yucatan. Each one is about a particular trip that we did. So An LDS Guide to Mesoamerica talks about our trip through Guatemala, southern Mexico, and Honduras, and the sites we visited. And An LDS Guide to the Yucatan is an account of our travels through the Yucatan Peninsula. An LDS Guide to the Yucatan is available right now. It's only as an e-book. So it hasn't been physically published yet. And the first one, An LDS Guide to Mesoamerica, is a physical book and an e-book as well.
Okay. Now, aside from the books, you have a cruise or tour that's coming up?
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, I'm hoping so. As I said, it's fairly common for Mormons like to take sort of informational or inspirational tours of places. So there are tours to the Holy Land, to Egypt, and things like that. And there are also lots of tours to Central America. And so there is an LDS tour group, our tour agency, travel agency, that has me scheduled to headline a cruise to this fall to Mexico and to Belize. And so that's, of course, contingent upon enough people signing up. But the idea is that I would give all kinds of presentations and firesides while we're at sea, and then accompany the people who are on the tour, accompany them to sites on land as we go to various archaeological sites in Mexico and Belize. So, like I said, that's scheduled, and I hope it works out. But it should be a lot of fun if it happens.
Definitely. Now, I know mm-hmm. in addition to an author, you are a teacher as well. What are some of the subjects or things that you teach on?
Well, some of that's going to be not very exciting. For about 12 years, since I am a digital artist, I've taught computer graphics and digital artwork at various colleges in California. Also, I've taught for about 6 years. I was a gospel doctrine teacher in my local congregation. And so, that, of course, would be scriptural lessons and things taught from the Bible, from the Book of Mormon, from other scriptures that we have. And I did a lot of teaching for 2 years when I was a missionary, and I still usually have a lot of opportunity to teach on spiritual subjects as well. So that's it's a calling that I've been given, and I do enjoy teaching and discussing things with people. All the work that we do in the church is completely just of our own time, and just devoted for what we want to do. It's not paid. It's completely done as an act of service.
Okay. Now, is there anything that we didn't touch on that you would like to share with the family tonight?
Gosh, anything that we didn't touch on. Well, there are just a whole ton of things. I think we've gone through quite a lot, hopefully. For me, the most important thing would be, you know, what is of most interest to you and is of most interest to your listeners. But mainly, I guess I would like to say that there are times when Mormons can seem a bit mysterious, and that's, you know, maybe we have teachings or practices that people don't know about, and a lot of things are said about us. Some of them sound quite negative. And basically what I would say is, you know, find out for yourself. Almost everyone knows someone who's a Mormon and can say, hey, I heard this. Is this true? You know, what do you believe? And so if you're ever curious about what it is that we believe or what we're all about or do we really do this strange thing you heard about, find someone who's a Mormon and ask them. And that, I think you'll probably get a better answer there than from people that are trying to, you know, cast us in a bad light or make fun of us.
Okay. And before you leave us, can you give us your contact information?
Certainly. As far as for this type of stuff, I have a blog, and the blog is ldsguide.blogspot.com. And that, of course, comes from the name of the books, An LDS Guide to Mesoamerica and to Yucatan. So you can go to that site, and you can find all sorts of information about me. There's information there where people can email me directly, and I'm happy to receive email and talk to people and just discuss anything they'd like to. Also at that site, there's more information about the books, about things that I'm doing. There are links to archives of radio shows I've done, and there are also additional papers that I've written that are provided there completely free as downloads on other topics that have to do with ancient America, with Book of Mormon topics, and with other sometimes ancient archaeology topics as well. So any additional stuff that I've done is there on that website, can be downloaded, and you can use it for your own edification. And, any kind of stuff that I'm up to as far as with interviews like this or with the books or any other things I'm doing like that, that will be on that blog.
All right. Well, we definitely thank you, Daniel, for coming and sharing your perspectives with us. And we wish you all the best with the upcoming cruise as well as the book.
Okay. Well, thanks. I mean, it is in many ways a labor of love. It's not going to change my life financially, but I love sharing these things with people. It's a fascinating topic for me. Things of a paranormal nature are interesting, but also things that have to do with, you know, with our own beliefs and our own history, and especially you know, the ancient cultures in this hemisphere. So I love researching about it, and I love talking to people about it and just, you know, sharing these ideas and just, you know, letting people know what's important to us. So I appreciate this time to talk to you, and I hope it was a good show, and I've had a good time, and, you know, think it was really worthwhile.
Thank you. Thank you, and we will definitely be in touch.
Okay.
All right, family, that's author and teacher Daniel Johnson, and again, the website is ldsguide.blogspot.com, and like he said, you can see there are articles here. You can find out about the books and other interesting information, as well as previous interviews that he's done on various topics. And again, we will be on tomorrow, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern, with Ms. Barbara Hunt, who will be joining us from the UK. And we'll be speaking on thoughts versus feelings. And again, if you missed last night's episode with Alfonso D. Rose, you definitely want to go back and check that one out. And to those of you who came in later on this session, you know, it'll be in the archives momentarily. I definitely appreciate you tuning in, appreciate your energy. Let's see, we came in with Jilly since we had about 3 more minutes. we'll let her discuss why she's prettier when she lets things go. Thank you again for tuning in to Wednesday's edition of My Magic here on Culture Freedom Radio. Again, I'm your hostess, Lady D. And until tomorrow, be safe, be blessed, and have fun. Good night.